Good morning and a very warm welcome to this online service of Strood Gospel Mission Church on Sunday the 20th of September. This morning we are going to take a break from our series on Meals with Jesus in order to mark harvest. And of course under these current conditions, current times, this is bound to be different from how we've celebrated harvest in previous years. I don't know the traditions of Strood Gospel Mission, but we won't be bringing marrows to church or even tins of beans this morning. Neither will we be sharing a church lunch. Nevertheless, even in this online setting, we have an opportunity to reflect on God's faithfulness over another year, to recognise that he has continued to provide, that despite the pandemic and the panic buying of early days, there is still food on our supermarket shelves. And God has provided in many other ways too. Although we've not been able to meet, church has still happened. God is still at work. So let's express our thanks now as we sing, O Lord our God, how great thou art.
Savior God, to thee,
Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for your greatness, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the many, many ways in which you provide for us, physically, materially, Lord, emotionally, socially, and most of all, spiritually. Lord, thank you that as we've just sung, Lord, you sent your Son, that on the cross he could take our burdens, that he could win forgiveness and new life for us, that we could know the fullness of joy that there is in relationship with you. Lord, once again, we thank you for all your provision for us. We thank you that despite the huge cost that you had to pay, you were willing to do that for us. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. Amen. Well, this morning there will be an opportunity to respond to God's faithfulness in two very different ways. One in support of a local work to meet a need locally, and one supporting a work overseas. Firstly, through Kevin, I've been in touch this week with Medway Food Bank, and this is what their project manager Lorraine Schultz said. First, I'll just get the poster up. They sent this poster because first they wanted to say thank you for all the ongoing support from churches, including Strood Gospel Mission, throughout the year, and especially at harvest time. So Lorraine said, we want to say thank you. Harvest this year is different for churches and for us here at Medway Food Bank. Somehow we have made it to September, well aware of God watching over us and guiding us in these strange times. Perhaps this year, more than others, we all need to take time to thank God for the food we have and for those who have continued to produce it and get it to us safely. We also need to remember those here in the UK and around the world who find it so hard to get their food due to poverty. Lorraine continues, we've seen significant increases in food bank usage in Medway, a 200% increase in April, 200%. And now a 60% increase on this time last year. As a result, we've been purchasing food stock to be able to meet the demand, spending approximately £700 a week. If you're able to help us this year, Medway Food Bank say we'd like to propose a different kind of harvest, a harvest of funds or online food. A harvest of funds would mean less contacts with food being dropped off and collected, keeping lots of folk safer. We're also hopefully about to move to a larger warehouse, and therefore we will not be wanting to have huge influxes of stock at this time. It would mean less handling of food items. It would mean more targeted use of finances for purchase of food stock. We'd welcome donations to go towards food stock purchase And this would mean that we could specifically buy the items that we need the most. It would also mean targeted use of finances to support our new warehouse. Above my desk, I have the verse from Malachi 3 in verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Somewhat sadly, we are having to look at a larger warehouse space in order to store the amount of stock we are needing. We continue to want to see an end to the need for food bank, so expanding is not really part of our best plan. However, for storage purposes, and to enable social distancing, a larger space will be necessary. And we've been blessed over these last months with generous donations of food from individuals and large corporate organizations. Please pray for us as we look to complete this warehouse moving project, that it may be that this harvest, you might choose to make a donation to the warehouse fund. They continue. You'd need to let us know if you wish for donations to be ring-fenced for either the warehouse or food stock funds. We're able to do that. Otherwise, donations will go into the general funds to help with the running of the food bank project as a whole. So they give a couple of website addresses, which I'll put up on the screen. The first is this one, medway.foodbank.org.uk/givehelp. And they say that would be the easiest way to donate and for them to receive donations at the moment. Lorraine mentioned, as well as a harvest of funds, a harvest of online food, and that also involves a website. If you are able to download this app from spareable.co.uk, that will enable you to purchase food from the list that Medway Food Bank put up of their needed items, or to just purchase a gift voucher that they can then apply to get the items they want. Medway Food Bank do say we appreciate this may not suit everyone, but it is a very efficient way of helping those who can do so. So that was the message from the food bank. I'll leave those website addresses up for a few seconds more, and then I'll put them back on the screen at the very end of the service this morning. So if you haven't managed to make a note of them yet, do have your pen and paper ready at the end, and you can take them down then. Well, having thought about a local need, we're now going to move on and consider a second work that we could support, something totally different. It takes place in Chad through a hospital supported by BMS World Mission. So let's watch a video that's been produced to introduce this work.
Well, I'm praying up every day that God will protect us. I pray that God will protect our team. So taking precautions, but praying a lot so that God will prevent us from being caught in COVID. The heat is there and the fear of coronavirus is there. There is a lot of stress.
How are you tired?
Well, I'm still carrying on. It's fine. That's my normal life.
I feel like it's a privilege to take care of people and make sure that they're healthy. I'm so happy to do that every day, even though in the evening I'm exhausted. But I will say, Lord, thank you, because you have granted me the privilege. So restore me, and I will be able to do it tomorrow again. So I've seen God really moving, because people come to the hospital desperate and they move out of the hospital full of joy. So I'm so happy to do that. I'm committed to do more.
It was raining, and the van I was driving skidded and flipped over. I was terrified. I lost consciousness for an hour. I couldn't see anything. I lost the ability to do anything. A doctor in Cameroon wanted to amputate my leg. I spent 5 months with traditional healers. I suffered terribly. My boss told me that he'd been in a similar accident. But when he went to Guinabor 2 Hospital, he got better. That's why he brought me here. My leg is starting to heal. The doctors here are really looking after me. I think that by the grace of God, everything is going to be okay.
For those who have no idea about Chad and about Guinabor Hospital, Chad is a country where most of the people don't earn much to survive, and they need care. So the most people come here because they know that they don't have much, but we're gonna care for them. I would say to anyone who is hearing this message, you can make a difference in many lives.
My boy is alive thanks to this hospital.
Coming here has strengthened my faith.
I'm so happy. I trusted the midwives. I knew I'd have a good birth.
If my family, my friend, my brother fell ill, I'd call Kabasu.
You can save a life. You can bring someone to Jesus. That's for eternal life. So there is a lot to give.
Today, I can give malaria treatments to patients who come to us.
Today, I can diagnose over 30 patients. Will you help me?
Today, I can give the right medicine to the people who desperately need it. Will you help me?
Today, as a doctor, I'm pleased to heal people that's come to this hospital.
Today, as a midwife, I can help 10 mothers give birth.
Today, I can help ensure that we give quality care to all of our patients.
Today, I can pray with patients in the operating theatre. Will you help me?
We have Jesus to give to people, but we have skills to give good quality care.
It costs just £13 to ensure each patient receives the quality care they need. For £13, you could help us save a life. And if you could give more, £80 can provide a nurse to take care of critically ill patients for a whole week. And could your fellowship come together to raise £695? That would mean 52 patients being cared for, 4 life-saving surgeries, and 5 babies making it safely into the world.
We deliver babies, we remove cancers, we stitch up gunshots. We identify coronavirus symptoms and get sufferers the help they need. we bind up wounds and perform surgery. We pray for the brokenhearted. We show poor people a Christian welcome and we see them come to faith in Jesus. We do all of this every day. We do it through the heat and the long hours and the tears. We do it through the fear of Boko Haram. We do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. We do it thanks to you.
I'm proud of the hospital because the hospital is really making a big difference.
You may have spotted this website address through which you can give if you've been inspired to support the work of BMS, bringing the Kingdom of God in Chad. And like the Medway Food Bank websites, I'll put that back up on the screen as we finish this service today. So there are these ways in which we can respond by giving financially. First of all, let us respond in prayer. And this morning, Karen is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. So thank you, Karen.
Let's pray. Jesus, as you pray to the Father, if there is any way to get out of this, but please, not what I want, you do what you want. In the Message Contemporary Language Bible. Here is the same picture in terms of the medical team, showing the heart of the gospel, helping those in need. Chad is a poor country, surrounded by other countries like Libya and Sudan. It is humid, largely Muslim, dangerous in terms of terrorism, kidnapping and unrest. But amid this is a Christian hospital. Here the injured, the sick, the brokenhearted, expectant mothers and the hearts seeking the answers of life can come and be met by the doctors, nurses, midwives, and staff with a smile. With the acceptance they find in Jesus, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Here, the medical team, with bravery, pride, joy, dedication, and the assurance in the great I am, the counselor, the healer, the faithful one, the redeemer, the rock, the list is endless. Here, through their tiredness, lack of food, money and spare time, the joy of the Lord is their strength, their hope, and spreading your love to all that enter the hospital is church. Replenish their reserves, strengthen their bodies, mind and spirit. Keep them healthy, Lord, united, close to their loved ones, and always interested in their job. Keep the passion alive, Lord. Keep the burdens light. Let them know that all heaven and earth is standing in the prayer gap daily. The people come from far and wide to this hospital, and their faith is rewarded. The lame can walk again. The mother's babies is born healthy. Cancer is destroyed. The deaf can hear. And why not? The blind can see again. Everything is possible with faith. Medicines will get delivered and work. We'll cancel out corruption in the name of Jesus. We declare victory over equipment, PPE, and the everyday basics to do the will of God. Let's pray. With this same authority, boldness and assurance, we lift our voices to our Lord and declare that he has the answers for the National Health Service. Thank you, Lord, with sincere gratitude for the concept of a health body free at the point of need. free to all of those injured, sick, lame or dying. Right now, in our fellowship, care is being given. Tests are being performed. Operations were carried out. And who's been the constant in all of this? You, Lord. All those people who work in the clinics, the care centres, the pharmacies, the surgeries, the hospital, dentists, from the cleanest to the CEO, everyone matters to you. Everyone was created in your image to have an everlasting relationship with you. Once again, Lord, send the refreshing Holy Spirit over any that are weary, exhausted, anxious, burnt out, isolating as they wait for the test result, carers of loved ones, mourning, juggling with life, with children, school run, all the cares that become burdens. Hold the hands in the spiritual realm of any who are suffering in silence mentally, psychologically, and not sleeping, eating, completely fearful of the winter to come. As you hear the silence, the whispers, the shouts of the saints, answer their prayers, Lord. Saturate the corridors of the wards with your peace, your grace, and grant everyone wisdom, understanding, and tolerance in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen, indeed. Thank you very much, Karen. I believe in mission. As a trustee of BMS World Mission, I guess that's a given. But from my earliest days as a follower of Jesus, I've realised that Christians are commissioned to share the good news, not only in our own backyard, at Jerusalem if you like, but also further afield, in Judea and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. I regularly receive mailings from a number of mission organisations telling me of the value and importance of their work. And then in 2007, I was privileged to spend 5 weeks in Indonesia visiting a missionary family. And for part of that visit, I stayed not with the missionaries, but with a local family in their mud hut. I have to say, that time made a huge, huge impact on me as I saw close up people rather than simply facts or statistics. Seeing people at close hand, living in totally different circumstances in a different corner of the world, gave me a totally new perspective on creation, on life, on God, and indeed on mission. Writing about the work of BMS in Chad, Dr. Monty Lyman reflects, "I'm a doctor working in the NHS, and even though we're in the midst of fighting an unprecedented pandemic, Britain's healthcare system has been coping well. It's been amazing to see the mobilisation of thousands of new employees and redeployment of existing doctors and nurses. The building of brand new 4,000 bed hospitals in a matter of weeks, and businesses and universities working together to design ventilators and test vaccines. This is partly because we are fortunate enough to live in a wealthy and well-resourced country. The situation is completely different for the remarkable staff at the Guinibor 2 hospital in Chad. Despite limited resources, they treat anyone who comes through the doors of their desert hospital. Often people who are desperately poor and could never afford the fees for a treatment at a government hospital. As COVID-19 spreads across Africa, these limited resources are going to be tested in an unimaginable way. Catching a glimpse of the work at Guinabore 2 gives us all a new perspective. What drives the medical staff to joyfully dedicate their lives to looking after the sick and destitute strangers who turn up at their hospital in the desert? A new purpose. Let's listen to some words from Genesis chapter 1, read for us by Jane.
Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Human beings are made in the image of God. Not just us, our families, our neighbours, but all human beings, wherever they live in the world. And that truth means that every human has incredible value because they reflect something of the Creator. Every person is like God in some way. This value derives from the fact that each and every human being is created. It's not something that some have, but others lack. They might lack, we might think, because of their actions, their behaviour, or for any other reason. But they don't. They have this value because they're created with it. This God-given value is bestowed on the rich and on the poor, on those that we consider to be good and on those that we don't. It's bestowed on the healthy and on the sick. It is a gift. It's something that has caused God's people down the ages to wonder and to worship. For example, David penned these words from Psalm 8, which Steve is going to read to us.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour.
What do the words from David's psalm and from the creation account tell us? One thing is that as image bearers, all human beings are loved and cared for by God. Although that image has been tainted, both physically and spiritually, by humankind's choice to reject God's way at the fall, nevertheless, God's love and care remain unchanged. The negative effects of sin are all too evident around us, in broken relationships and in broken bodies too. Life is not as God intended it to be, as he created it to be. God's heart breaks as he sees the misery and the pain. How do I know? Because God so loved us that he sent Jesus into the world. He lived among us, experiencing what human life is like, the pain and the frustrations. And yet Jesus remained 100% faithful to the Father, even in dying in our place on the cross and rising again, so that the brokenness of human existence could be mended, God's image restored, and we could experience new life in relationship with him. During his life on earth, Jesus gave hope to those with broken bodies by healing the sick. But he also used this to point to healing from an even greater sickness. Let's listen now to some words of Jesus recorded in Mark's Gospel and read to us by Marian.
Mark chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Which is easier, to say to this paralysed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this.
Seeing something of the lives of others can give us a new perspective. When we appreciate the God-given value of human beings and all that Jesus did to rescue us, it gives us a new purpose. And in Jesus we receive a new promise. It's in Jesus' resurrection from the dead that we most clearly see the value of humans, including the physical human body, as being part of the image of God. This is why healthcare workers at the Guinibor 2 Hospital in Chad are so passionate in their care for the physical, psychological, and ultimately spiritual needs of their patients. Listen again to the words of BMS mission worker Bethan Shrubshaw that we heard in the video. We deliver babies, we remove cancers, we stitch up gunshots, we bind up wounds and perform surgeries, we pray for the brokenhearted, we show poor people a Christian welcome, and we see them come to faith in Jesus. We do all of this every day. We do it through the heat and the long hours and the tears. We do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. Despite limited resources and constant demands, they are compelled to follow Jesus' example in loving their fellow image bearers in Chad, attending to broken bodies and sharing the gospel, bringing temporary healing and eternal hope. Let's hear some final words from Scripture, this time from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, read by Mark.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 55. Where the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for those words that we have just heard. Words concerning your amazing victory over death, over sin, over sickness, pain, and suffering. Lord, we thank you this morning that you not only won that victory, but that you offer that victory to us that we might share in it, that we might know your kingdom of wholeness and peace and love, that we might be in relationship with you able to enjoy the fullness of life that only you can provide. And Lord, as we thank you for all that you have done for us, help us to respond by living our lives in such a way that we can bring your kingdom, your abundant life to others too, that they might know your love and your faithfulness. Amen. Eternal God, we thank you that you allow us to work hand in hand with you, nurturing and gathering in both a material and a spiritual harvest. Help us to recognize the responsibility that involves and be faithful stewards of all you have given. And so may our lives, as well as our words, offer to you our joyful praise and heartfelt worship. Once more, you have blessed us, and we thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, let me just put those website addresses that we looked at earlier back up on the screen to give you a chance, if you didn't earlier, to make a note of those. And while they're there, I'll just go through what's coming up in the days ahead. As I suggested last Sunday, we are working towards reopening the building. It's good to see Karen, and you might just have caught a glimpse of Mark's finger, I think it was, in the prayer video earlier. So we're working towards reopening the building, and the plan is, at the moment, all things remaining equal, that we'll begin meeting weekly for prayer and a brief message, starting on Sunday the 4th of October at 10 a.m. Of course, we need to do everything that we can to comply with the regulations and the guidelines and make these meetings as COVID secure as possible. So do look out for the detailed information that will be coming out on church emails. These YouTube services will also continue. So from October the 4th, you will have a choice at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Also this week, we are meeting, as we have done throughout lockdown, for our Thursday gathering on Zoom at 8 p.m. This week will be a communion, so please have your bread or cracker and wine or juice handy for that meeting, Thursday, 8 p.m. on Zoom. Well, whatever you're doing this week, I hope you are aware of God's presence with you, that you have a truly blessed week. I'll say goodbye for now, and I hope to see you soon. Goodbye. God bless.